The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Real quick this morning, I just wanted to share with you guys something that stood out to me in a different way this week. If you've got your Bibles, we're in Matthew chapter 19 or Mark chapter 10. It's the same story. If not, they're in the little bulletins in the back. It's the story of the rich young ruler. You guys have probably all heard it. If you've been around church at any point in time in your life, you've heard this story of the rich young ruler. It's the guy who comes to Jesus. He has everything, and he asks Jesus the question of what must I do to get eternal life? What must I do? What must I do to enter into eternal life? And Jesus gives the answer: to keep the commandments. And so he keeps the commandments. He says, I've done all those things. Check. I've got that box covered. And Jesus says, okay, well, then there's one thing you lack. You have to sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. At this, the man's face falls. At this, he becomes terribly sad. He walks away because the scripture says he was a man of much wealth. And that's kind of the overview of the story, if you've never heard the story before. But as I read that story, as I looked at that story this week, there were certain parts of it that stood out to me in a really weird way. And I don't know how else to say that other than just they stood out in a different way. And as I read that story this week, or getting ready for this, like they stood out and they kind of meant a little bit more to me than they usually do. The first thing that stood out to me was just the guy's question. His question is to find out how we cannot die. When you actually go back and you read in Matthew chapter 19 and Mark chapter 10, his question is, just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Mark's translation says it like this: what must I do to inherit eternal life? And both these situations, the man is not just looking to live. He's looking to not die. And that got me thinking about me, like, what's my focus? Is my focus on the end game, the destination? Is that where my attention is? Am I a Christian? Are you here today? Are you a follower of Christ simply because you know the destination on the other side is not good? Right? If I were to give you the choice between heaven and hell, everyone in here is going to choose heaven, right? Easy. Hey, listen, you can go, you can enjoy eternal peace, eternal security with God, the creator of everything. And I love hearing people's views of heaven. Anybody got a view of heaven that we'll share? Just out loud, you can say it. I can't hear you probably, but you can say it.
I had a kind of a vision one time that I witnessed this horrific automobile crash with dead people. And suddenly, I whited out, and when I was in this big golden room, the golden light shining over there, and big ornate columns that were carved, and it was just a really peaceful, beautiful feeling. And I heard a voice say, it's okay, they're with me. And then I woke up. People were slapping me in the face. That was kind of my view of it. I think I went to the waiting room of heaven.
Glad you didn't go all the way. You came back. That's good. Gardens that don't die. There you go. Yeah, my green thumb people, right? I used to think as a kid, I was like, heaven is perfect 10-foot waves that just crest at the perfect spot. You don't even have to paddle to get into them. It's just like you just get on your surfboard and just like ride. And that's what heaven is. They said it's crystal seas, but like, why can't crystals have a little peak to them? And you know, what else? Something else you guys think about heaven?
Smoking or
non-smoking. All right, so there you go. And if given the option, most of us would choose, you know, non-smoking. Yeah. So if you give people that option, everybody's going to say heaven every single time. And it's interesting because that's what this guy comes to Jesus with is, hey, listen, I don't want to die. I don't want to experience the separation. I don't want to experience bad things. And his question is to find out how he can't die. Now, that's interesting to me also because why is he so obsessed with not dying? He's so obsessed with not dying, because if you read in the scriptures and you find out a little bit about who this guy was, this man was a rich man. He had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of influence. He had a lot of power. In other words, his earthly life was so good that he wanted to preserve it as long as he possibly could. Which is interesting, because we've talked about this morning already, difficulties, trials, hardships. But really, when you think about it, even in all your difficulties, all your trials, and all your hardships, you still have a good life, don't you? I mean, listen, you guys have gone through, I've watched you walk through some of the most difficult things of people I've ever seen. But at the end of the day, you've got a good life. You've got food on your table. You've got friends around you. You've got family around you. You've got an air conditioning church. You've got a super cool pastor. I mean, you've got like a good life. I don't know what else. You've got a gorgeous husband. I don't know what else you need other than like, but really like, you know, you've got a good life. And a lot of us, if we were to be completely honest, as much as we're looking forward to non-smoking and as much as we're looking forward to all the things that heaven holds, we're not quite ready just yet. I kind of want to stay here. I enjoy here. I enjoy my life. So this man comes with a question of hey, listen, I enjoy what I have. I don't want this to end. How can I keep this going? And it's so interesting to me that that's his question, because of what Jesus responds to his aunt to him with. And Jesus' answer is completely different than his question. His question is, what must I do so that I cannot die? And Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17, by telling him how he must live. He says, why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. If you enter life, keep the commandments. Or if you want to enter life. It's interesting because Jesus flips the question. The man asks, what can I do to not die? And Jesus says, hey, listen, if you want to live, this is what you do. You keep the commandments. Jesus doesn't tell him how not to die. Jesus tells him how to live. He keeps the commandments. This seems like an interesting point too, because Jesus points out that not dying isn't the real aim. The truth is that not dying is just a part of the whole thing. What God really wants you to do is to live for his glory, to live for God. So Jesus flips this man's question. He says, hey, listen, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You're looking at how to not die. I want to teach you how to live. That's the important thing. So the story goes on. And this one stood out to me in a big way this week. The man still realized that everything he had was still incomplete. When you look there at Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, and in Mark 10, 20 and 21, you see the words of the man in chapter 20, or verse 20 of Matthew's account. All these things I've kept since I was a young man. What do I still lack? It's interesting because that part of the story never stood out to me before. Like, he was a rich man, he got it, he was there. When you look in his response to Jesus, he calls Jesus a good teacher. That's a response that is only for God. Like, this man is so close to who Jesus is, to understanding and grasping the reality of what's going on, that he calls Jesus good. That was a term, that was a title that was only elected to God. Jesus even answers him and says, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. This guy is so close to getting all of it figured out. He even realizes that everything he has is still not enough. It's still incomplete. This guy, Jesus says, keep the commandments. And he says, I've done all that. I've kept the commandments. I've got that box checked off. I've done everything I need to do from that perspective, but I'm still missing something. This morning, I wonder how many of us that is. You've checked all your boxes. You've done all your things. You've technically taken care of your eternity. You know where you're going to spend eternity. You've got your reservations made. You know what heaven waits for you. But just living that kind of life is incomplete. See, as a follower of Christ, when you say, hey, listen, that's my destination. That's my goal. That's what I want to do, is just get to heaven. Then what Jesus tells me is that you're living an incomplete life, because the focus is here. The focus is now. The focus is life now, and how you need to live life now. This morning, I think a lot of us get stuck here because we don't want to admit that that's incomplete. That your theology, that your view of Christianity, that your walk with Christ is incomplete. You want to think that you've gotten it taken care of because you've got eternity settled, because you've made that decision, because you've joined a church, or because you got baptized, or because you did this one thing a long time ago, and that is all covered and taken care of, that you're done. But the words of the man, the words of Jesus, just rang out to me this week. But there's still one thing you lack. You lack living. See, you're focused on not dying. You're not focused on living. So you're missing out on what God has for you because your focus is not dying. And I want to teach you how to live. So Jesus tells the man, hey, I love Mark's translation because Mark says he felt compassion for him. He felt love for him. He felt something towards the man. And when he looked at him, Jesus says in Matthew or in Mark's version, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. The secret to living, church, is this. The way to live is to give. You find it in Matthew and Mark. Both of them tell, he tells the man to give all his possessions to the poor. Another way of saying this is to give up the one thing that he was trusting in. To give up all that you trust in. This morning, church, are you trusting in a piece of paper? Are you trusting in a relationship that your grandparents had, or that your mom or that your dad had? Are you trusting in your closeness to church? Are you trusting in anything other than Christ alone for your salvation? If you are, then you're not really focused on living. You're just focused on not dying. The second thing he tells him to give is, he says, to give to those that are in need. And I don't want to spend a lot of time here, this, but we talked a little bit about this. This is not just financial. For this guy, do you know why it was financial for this guy? Because for one, his trust was in his finances. But for two, it was because that was the hardest thing for him to let go of. For you, it could be something completely different. I'll be maybe too transparent. Sorry, y'all. No, I'm not sorry. I'm going to be transparent. Mine's my time. Man, I've got like 24 hours. I don't know if anybody has figured out a way to add more time. I've got 24 hours every day. It's the same thing every single day. And by the time I spend a little bit with my wife, I spend a little bit with each of my kids, and I spend some time with them. I do the work I need to do. I cook dinner, or I help her cook, or I clean up after dinner or something, and I get everything done. I end up usually with about 10 minutes at night with nothing. And that 10 minutes is so valuable because that's my cheese and crackers time. That's my bread time. Like, that's my snack time. Like, I sit down and I just want to enjoy it. And honestly, like, my time is very valuable to me. So you know what this verse screams to me? John, are you willing to give your time for me? John, great, you can give your finances, you can give those things, you can give this, you can give that. How about your time? Are you willing to give that to me? Yours may be something completely different because it may be something that is different for you to struggle. But here's what this verse says. I'm supposed to give my time to people in need. Do you know the easy, and I had different things this week going back through my head. I don't know why, but for some reason, I recounted an encounter I had with an old friend of mine who committed suicide years ago. And I thought back to that situation. I thought back to that time, and I thought about all he needed from me was time. And when he reached out and he said, hey man, listen, I'm going through a difficult time, I sent him a Facebook message. Because I didn't have enough time to stop what I was doing and answer him and call him and really investigate and not just like reach out one time, but to continue to reach out, continue to find out how he's doing, continue to pour into him, continue to find out what's going on with him. I stopped because my time was too valuable. See, there are people who need time. There are people who need your affection. There are people who need your care. There are people who need your love. There are people who need your smile. There are people who need your welcome, your face, your embrace, your whatever it is that you've got, that God's begging you and crying to you and saying, listen, this is your one thing that you're refusing to let go of, and I need you to give it to somebody who is in need of it, because that is how you live. Whatever it is, God just wants you to give it to someone who's in need of it. The next way to live is this, is to follow. It's to follow the example that Jesus sets. In each of the encounters, Jesus says to the man, listen, sell everything you have and give it to those who are in need. Come and follow me. The next thing that you and I have to do if we're going to truly live is we have to follow the example set before us by Christ. The way he lived, the way he loved, the way he served, the way he did everything is an example that's been set before you and I. The hard part for you and I as Christians is this, is we've been told so long that this is what Christianity is, but we have no clue what this says Christianity is. And so our hold up and our trouble is this, is we've been told this is what it means to be a follower of Christ, but we have no clue what scripture actually says it means to be a follower of Christ. We've taken somebody else's words, somebody else's ideas or whatever the case is, and made that our own when we have no clue what this actually says. And so the hardest part for you and I is people who say we follow Christ is to actually spend the time doing the hard work of looking in scripture and finding out what does it mean to follow Christ. We were talking about this the other night with Michael. It's a lot easier to just make blanket rules than it is to live a life that explains what it means. And I'm going to pick this one. How many of y'all, it was wrong to listen to non-Christian music? You know Christian, you know music doesn't have a soul, so it can't be Christian or non-Christian. I don't know if you've ever realized that or not, but it's the people who write it. But I grew up in, it was drilled into my head, you can't listen to non-Christian music, you can't listen to non-Christian music. I remember the first time I rapped for my mom and dad. Oh, more money, more problems. It was like I was on point, dude. I could like spit every one of those lyrics out. And they were like, that's not Christian. But Jesus says that you give your money, and the more money you have, the more problems you have. So it is Christian, mom and dad. No, it's not. But it was drilled in my head over and over, and everybody just poured out that you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. And I understand why, because there are so many dangers in what we listen to, and what we put into our head makes its way out in our life. But what no one ever did with me was sit down with me and say, hey, listen, John, the reason you need to be careful with what you listen to is because it affects your life differently. Instead of just saying, don't do this, no one actually sat down with me and said, hey, here's how we walk through this together. That's what it means to follow Christ, is when you sit down with someone and you say, hey, let's walk through this journey together. It's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about what you can and can't do. It's about walking through life with people in such a way that they see what God can do in your life. That's what it means to follow Christ. That's what it means to truly live. The last thing is this, in order for you and I to truly live, we have to live. Sorry, the way to live is to trust. You trust God, you trust Jesus, and you trust the Holy Spirit. What's that mean? It means simply this. God, I'm trusting you with my eternity. God, you are good. The rich man, when he comes, he acknowledges that Jesus is God. He says, you are God. There's something different. There's something unique about you that no one else has. I trust that you're God. A lot of us have an easy time trusting God with eternity, don't we? That's bigger than me. I'm not sure this morning I could even spell eternity if you asked me to. Nope, never mind. Eternity's big. That's God. Are you trusting God with right now, though? Is your focus just on not dying? Or are you trusting God with living every single day, with how you're going to make it today, how you're going to make it tomorrow, how you're going to find the strength, the encouragement, the words that you need to share, what you need to share with the person that you're going to see at lunch? Are you trusting Christ? What does that mean? Well, who's responsible for your salvation? Who's responsible for your forgiveness of sins? In this story, it's interesting, as I read back through it, the man goes, and when he comes to Jesus, he says, what must I do? See, his salvation was good as long as he was in control of it. His hope for eternity, his hope for the future, as long as he could control it, was okay. So that's why when Jesus says this, he says, there's nothing you can do. It's not up to you. It has to be on me. This morning, are you trusting in anything else other than Christ for your salvation? If so, your focus is wrong. You're missing it. And the last thing is to trust the Holy Spirit. How do I know what I need to give? How do I know when I need to give? How do I know what I need to do? How do I know how to interpret God's word and follow who Christ is? Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Are you trusting the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in your life, that when you feel those, man, Brother Eddie, I have so much respect for you. When Reverend Brother Eddie feels like saying something, whether he should say it or not, he just goes for it. And listen, man, y'all laugh, but I love that about you, because what that tells me is that's a man who is in tune and he has no clue whether or not this is what he's supposed to do, but he feels something inside of him and he acts on it. And that's respectable to me. Because a lot of us, we feel that. I can't talk during church. We have to be quiet. There's little signs that say quiet all over me. I think a lot of us miss being led by the Holy Spirit. And what that enables, or what that has us do, is we miss all kinds of things that God could be doing in our life, because we don't trust the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We trust what we've been told, what we've heard. So this morning, church, just real briefly, I want to challenge you to live your life. Don't just focus on not dying. Focus on living a life right now that glorifies and pleases God. Why? Because that is when you start to find the exciting things about what it means to be a follower of Christ. God, I thank you for this morning. Father, I thank you for those that are here, that came here to this day, to this service at this time to worship you. Father, my prayer is that as we've come, we've worshiped and we've spent time with you, God, I pray that you would cause us to leave this place differently. That God, our focus, our intentions as we leave here would not just be on prolonging the good life we have, or God, keeping things intact the way that we have. Father, that through your word this morning, you would shift our focus. Lord, that we would learn and we would focus and we would realize what it means not just to not die, but Father, to live a life that truly glorifies you. God, I pray that as we continue to worship you this morning, Father, that you would help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do, through the power of your Holy Spirit now. Father, if there are decisions about joining this church or following in baptism, or Father, there's someone in this room this morning who's never made the decision to place their complete trust in you alone for their salvation, God, I pray that during this time, you would have them be obedient to what you're doing in their heart. And Lord, that we would walk out of this place glorifying you for the great things that you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.